I think some of you, if not a lot of you, are aware that I did a trip
late last year, September to October. I visited the islands in the Philippines. This was meant to be a holiday because I always get together with my girlfriends for 40 years. And this was inspired by Sue when she went to Thailand, was it? Yeah. And so then I call this the holiday with a purpose, and I encourage my girlfriends to actually make it a holiday with a purpose. So I'm just going to ask Lynn to play the whole thing. This is like a little over a minute. Bread. That's the team getting on the boat. That's where we went to. This film is going to be kind of like looped as I talk about the trip. So it is a holiday with a purpose. The destination is Palawan Islands and Cebu Islands in the Philippines. And to my surprise, towards the end, we also went to the city of Manila. But I'm going to tell you about it later. Just for your information, Palawan Islands is the westernmost part province of the Philippines, also known as the last frontier. It is one of the most biodiverse regions in the Philippines. And in order to preserve its biodiversity, UNESCO, an international organization, UNESCO, declared the whole province of Palawan a man and biosphere reserve. And this was done in 1990. That's in one of the islands. That's me raising my hand over there. Because it's so beautiful. I'm praising God. Yeah. The tourist attractions in Palawan Islands are the white sand beaches, turquoise waters, coral reefs, where you get the best snorkeling and diving, and splendid limestone rock formations. That's what the tourists see. What they don't see are the little islands and villages around. That's what we went to see. So Palawan actually relies on fishing, and most of the people living there are living in fishing villages. So if you could just loop it now, please. Thank you, Lynn. So the team composed of retirees of Cathay Pacific Airways. These are my friends for almost 40 years. And because we can travel cheaply, we have lifetime benefits from Cathay Pacific, very kind of them. So we make it a yearly thing to get together and kind of like, you know, connect once or twice a year if we can. And the ladies are actually kind-hearted ladies. They're very generous. And so we decided that the funds that we use were all our funds. And we didn't ask from anybody, but to our surprise, there was a very generous person who gave us a lot to spend in our purpose-driven trip. And that's my mother. Mama, thank you. You've been so kind and generous. And on behalf of this whole trip, on behalf of the ladies, I thank you. I thank God for you. You're a wonderful, generous woman. So just like Sue, as I've said, she inspired me to put purpose in the trip. And just like Sue, in one segment of my flight, actually, I had an opportunity to minister to my seatmate because we got some severe turbulence on board. So this guy was so scared. And God knew to sit him next to a retired flight attendant because I was just sitting there smiling, you know. And he asked me, how could you do this? Anyway, all I did, actually, was just to distract him from feeling the turbulence. Unlike what you see in the movies, no, I didn't hold his hand. Yeah? I didn't have to. I started with asking about his family, and then the conversation just went on, and he talked about his family. And then I could feel the aircraft descending, and I just carried on and say, oh, tell me about your daughter. And he just went on until we just touched down, and we arrived at our destination. And he was like, oh, we're here. Yeah, welcome to the Philippines. So I was very grateful for that. And also, have you heard in September about the huge typhoon that hit the Philippines? Because it was all over the news, and I think some of you were concerned. I was there. I was actually, the team was in the middle of the typhoon. There was flooding. There was just so much rain, torrential rain, and we were walking through the flood. So we got stuck for a few days, but that didn't discourage us because we knew that God works things together for good. And what really happened is the timing was such that what we've planned was just this minute thing, and God expanded it to being more just because we waited. So I'll talk about it. So by the grace and protection of God, despite the typhoon, we've completed what we've set out to do and much, much more, above and beyond what we even planned to do. So this is what we've done. We've done follow-up visit to this church that I think I talked about with some of you, if I haven't talked about it with the whole church. There is a church group who got stuck during COVID, and they really required funds because the families, like the fishing villages and all that, they were starving. So during COVID, Zoom meetings were conducted, and we actually taught the women to bake bread. Okay? So here we go. That's the story of the bread. You'll see the bread. Well, they started with just home-baked bread, and then they started selling it and delivering. Well, that has expanded hundredfold. I mean, talk about God providing and saying, yep, I'm going to bless you, open up the gates of heaven. Look at that. That's just part of it. They now are delivering to a lot of cafes and stores and kind of like dairies who sell freshly baked bread. Imagine starting with one oven. They now have two large industrial size places, like about this big. There's two of these, and there are industrial size ovens in there. So it was a bit overwhelming, but it was just like, wow, that's how good God is. That's how he works. It's like beyond, above and beyond what you expect. We've done a follow-up visit there. And by the way, if you want to know more about the story, there's more to this story. Just come have coffee or lunch with me and we'll talk about it. We've also visited orphans and widows. And we thought it was going to stop there. No, it went beyond because we managed to actually go to a school. And upon talking to a principal of that school, by the way, this is one fishing village, and there's only one school from primary to high school, okay? And when we went to visit, the principal actually showed us a whole big list of malnourished children who go to that school. May I remind you that in the Philippines, there's no social security, there's no help, and people mainly rely on whatever they could do. And in this particular instance, it's fishing. So if there's no fish, what do you do? The government hardly helps. But they do give very small funds for the feeding of the children. But obviously, that's not enough. So we ask, what could we do? And they did say some children just enjoy fried chicken, and they actually call it chicken joy. Chicken joy. It's actually, yeah, in the restaurants it says chicken joy. It's fried chicken. Okay? And for them, that's like a treat. And guess what else is a treat? Spaghetti. Yes, spaghetti. But this Filipino-style spaghetti, they add sugar. So it's sweet spaghetti. I know, it's like, yeah. But just FYI, just so you know, when you meet a Filipino family, their spaghetti might be sweet when they serve it to you, okay? Anyway, so we asked if we could come in and feed them lunch. And she did say, let's focus on the malnourished children. What we didn't expect was the malnourished children filled up a classroom. So we packed spaghetti, chicken joy, and rice, which is a staple in the Philippines. So we thought there's a balance there, right? Carbs and protein. Sorry, no veg. But remember, this is a treat, right? So this is when we actually, there's the classroom. You couldn't see it much, but these are the children. So we not only gave them lunch, but we packed a little gift pack with stationaries because you could see their pencils are that small and they just keep using it until it's, you know, like so tiny. So we packed stationaries, pencils, pens, and you should have seen their faces. It's almost like Christmas, right? And if you think about it, oh my gosh, that's a small thing. But it brought so much joy. So we've done that with children. And then what else have we done? We also managed to minister to widows. And these widows were given jobs at that bakery. So they sit there, their days, like, it consists of getting up, getting their children to school, and then sitting there and packing in plastic bags. But that's a job for them. And for them, they earn money from that, you know, and they prepare the bread. You'll see me in one of the photos holding up, you know, these plastic bags, and that's ready for delivery. So, what else have we done? After the islands, I'm going kind of like forward. I'm going back later to the story. But after the islands, we also managed to go to Manila, which is the big city. And this, I didn't expect this. But we actually managed to go to a ladies' prison. I was so overwhelmed. I didn't know that they were going to allow us to do this. Of course, they did a total body search and everything, right? And by the way, there are no photos because we weren't allowed to take photos. All right, and we left our mobiles. We were like bare, like really stripped of technology, and we were body searched to go in there. And we thought we were going to minister to them. Boy, they ministered to us. It was a big group of Christian ladies who were there, and they were doing their midweek service, and they've invited us. Me, particularly, to lead worship. And I had to contain myself because I watched these ladies praise Jesus. It was amazing, indescribable. But their faith is so strong that you can actually, it's almost palpable. You can almost feel it. You walk into their worship center, and it's just amazing. Oh, by the way, thank goodness for the Philippine government that they allow this. They gave them a worship center. They have a band. They have a band, Ray. They have a band of like 6, 7. I'm like, wow, right? And so when I stood there, I felt a bit, ooh, it's a real big band. But it was amazing, and a lot of them are actually studying the Rick Warren, the Purpose-Driven Church. They're studying courses. And a lot of them have finished and got their diploma or certificate on that. So anyway, that was a bonus. That was the plus. So as I've said, we thought that we would go to bless these people. They've actually blessed us. All right. So Lynn, if you could just, so these are the students who are feeding them during lunch break. And now this girl, I want to tell you a story about that young girl there. The reason I put her in the photo, she's holding that pack here. She's holding that gift pack. But where's her lunch? Yeah, she's holding the gift pack when I took her photo. But where's her lunch? We gave her lunch, okay? And I watched her. She opened it, and you could see, like, her eyes were saying, whoa, right, nice. Took a bite of the chicken, took a spoonful of rice. Sorry, I'm going to get emotional. And didn't even touch her spaghetti. And then she closed the lid and put it in her bag. So where's her lunch? It was in her bag. She speaks a different dialect, so when I was asking, I was asking her, where's your lunch? Why don't you eat? You know, in Tagalog, which is the Filipino language. But she speaks another dialect, so I asked one of the teachers to kind of like translate for me. And the teacher said, she's taking it home because she has 5 other siblings waiting. And she wanted to share her lunch with them. So that touched my heart. So altogether, what the team and I have experienced is priceless. It's a feeling of connection, empathy, and purpose that there's no words to describe it, really. And it leaves a lasting impact on the giver and the receiver. We're very grateful to God. Let me just, if we could just stop there. By the way, this is in the fishing village. And remember the typhoon? This is what happened in the typhoon. And these are people who are kind of like scrounging around to see if there's any, dead fish there. And that's what they're doing. So Lynn, if you just go back a little bit. So this is the kind of like very sad thing. They're actually looking for dead fish there. And what I've seen is this old woman. So you see, there's no social security. So this old woman, I don't know if there she is. Anyone cares about her, but that's not her family. So I think this man just, or this person is just assisting her to pick up some dead fish. Anyway, I'm just grateful to God that we had this opportunity, and it gave us a perspective, that recognizing that even small acts of kindness can have a significant impact on someone's life, even only for that very moment, even only for that very day. Of course, we'd like to go beyond that, and I'm going for a trip again next month, just to see how we could pursue it on a regular basis. This trip was a reminder that God has given all of us the ability to create positive change in someone's world. And that helping those in need is not only a profoundly rewarding experience, but also it's a step of obedience. When Jesus commanded us to love others as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Funny thing about the neighbors is we don't have to go very far. You don't have to hop on a plane. Your neighbor could be the person you're sitting next to right now. And it could be someone who you would strike a conversation with later on when we have lunch. That's your neighbor. So as we do communion together, and as the emblems are being passed around, let's take a moment to ponder. Should you decide to step out in obedience to Jesus' command to extend love to your neighbor, I pray that God would bless your effort and instill in you the wondrous joy and fulfillment that I was just talking about, that I just described in this presentation. Let's also consider this. Jesus has done so much for us. He's gone above and beyond what we even longed for or dreamt of. Jesus' character and his nature doesn't change. He gave his life on the cross. His body was beaten and his blood poured out, all for the love of us. So could we ponder on that? All he wants is an intimate and personal relationship with us. Let's ponder on that. And as we sit in silence after we receive the emblems, let us respond to that loving invitation and commit ourselves in Jesus' hands with all that we are. Thank you. Into your hand I commit again with all I am, for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. I'll walk with you wherever you go, through tears and joy. I trust in you, and I will live in all of your ways, your promises forever. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. My Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you poured your blood out. Thank you, Jesus. Your body was scarred. I will worship. I will worship you. I will worship Jesus. I will worship you. Jesus.
I said, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe in your promises. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the blood you shed on the cross. You're so faithful, Lord, you never change. Your promises are always true. You've never failed us, Jesus. We just want to acknowledge your faithfulness. Hallelujah.